Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me, as almost always, the Back to the Future to my days of future past, it's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Did you appreciate my literally pulled out of my ass in the last 60 seconds intro there?
I did, even though for a second I thought you were saying Days of Thunder for some reason. I was just like, huh.
I could have said Days of Thunder because I think today might be Tom Cruise's birthday, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that.
Nice.
I feel like today might be Tom Cruise's birthday. I feel like someone I know, some silly, dorky person I know, did like a happy birthday message to Tom Cruise on Facebook today. Because, you know, he'll see it.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Tom Cruise, if you're listening.
Yes.
he's only 58 years old. I guess it. I don't know. It seems like he's.
Is he only 58?
Like he's been around long. I feel like he's 58.
Oh, I thought he was.
I just googled it.
He looks great, so it doesn't matter.
And I like him. He seems to do a lot of stuff, work hard, so that's cool.
You know what? He was in a great movie, which really is a way for us to segue back to why we're here. Edge of Tomorrow, can't wait for the eventual supposed sequel once Hollywood is able to start actually filming movies again. Great, underrated movie.
That should be cool. I saw that at a drive-in. I just kind of like, it was playing with something else I wanted to see, so I ended up watching it, and I was just like, damn, that's fun.
Well, you know, chances are you might see it at a drive-in again, since they're certainly coming back in the style, from what I hear.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's one like 2 miles from my house that one of my dad's friends runs, so he's a douchebag that thinks Sharia law happened during the Obama administration, but at least there's a drive-in close to me with cheap food.
Oh, there you go. So anyway, why are you here? We're here to talk about Dark. We're here to talk about the fifth season. I've only had like 3 sips. Why am I sounding drunk already? The 5th episode of season 3, the final season of Dark, which was titled the somewhat portentous, ominous Life and Death. So let's just get into it. A lot of things happened in this episode. As I've said before, I tend to take notes chronologically as we go through it. And since we're kind of recording, I literally finished watching the episode less than 15 minutes ago. So I didn't take the time to sort these and shuffle them in a different kind of order. Didn't do any color coding because I'm not so sure how great that experiment worked or not. And
no, I think the podcast turned out well, so I'm not sure if that made it much of a difference.
I will take your word for it. The days of me going back and actually listening to our entire podcast are long, long gone. So usually I listen to a little bit. I just listen to the little bits here and there that I'm either concerned about as far as, you know, where there are possible audio problems, or I want to hear how you might have, you know, slipped in a musical clip or things of that nature. Oh, speaking of which, hopefully the folks that are listening to this podcast, you know, crossing my fingers, knocking on every wood. Here's wood. There we go. Hopefully there will be a substantial audio improvement with our podcast. As you guys might already know, I did finally get an actual real deal microphone just a couple days ago. I think this is the 3rd podcast I'm using it for. Experimenting with the levels, I think I was off on the previous one. I think I set myself actually too low. But a fellow who's actually turns out to be a listener, W. Axel Foley, kind of contacted me today to give me a heads up on ways I might be able to fix the leveling on our audio. So I now have an internet tool to do that. I experimented on our previous podcast and updated the link on our website, the STVD podcast at podbean.com. I said it now, so I don't got to say it later. Which means I just lost all the download information from the original thing. So every time I ever look at our numbers, I'll always go, well, that number should probably be at least 13 to 18 more than it is, but oh well. But anyway, so let us know if on our Facebook page, you know, if you think there has been a marked improvement in the audio and it's a better, you know, sensory experience for you. Again, our Facebook page is Serious TV Drama Podcast. Like the page. Join the conversation. Look, I just knocked off 2 things I don't got to say at the end now. It's great.
Yeah, and yeah. Plus, CJ, we know CJ is going to comment and say that the audio is worse. So you can just skip commenting. We already know what you're going to say, CJ. So okay.
Yeah, CJ is until we get to an alternate universe where it's the bizarre universe, and CJ actually has something worthwhile to say as far as anything involving movies, TV, music, or our podcast. Although if he's still listening to our podcast, we probably should. Oh, nah, screw him. Anyway.
I'm sure he is. Yes,
I'm sure. I don't know if he's watching.
Though. I just hope that he doesn't have erectile dysfunction in the other universe. But I guess some things maybe are, you know, exist in all realities. I don't know.
Okay, all right. You know what? It's my fault for derailing the podcast this soon. So let me try to get us back on track and try to grab back any listeners who just switched us off just now. Okay, so we are here talking about episode 5, Life and Death. And we begin the podcast in 2020, where we see Claudia burying Regina in the woods. The reason I'm even going right to the beginning of the episode is because they do something that we haven't seen them do this season, but we've definitely seen them do in previous seasons, where they start doing the showing the split screen and paralleling characters. And so we get the whole thing, but now, instead of doing the different time periods, we're doing the different universes. So we see, you know, the different Elizabeths and the different Peters and the different Katarinas, I never know how to pronounce the name. So I kind of enjoyed that. It was kind of like, oh, look, they're kind of, and look how just a little bit of makeup makes them look so much different and stuff like that. And of course, we do see something like that towards the end of the episode during one of your favorite dark tropes now, the music montage of and catching up with things. But there's something I want to talk about. Oh, go on.
No, just say we never talk about it. You usually don't, I'm sure. But the editing on the show is really good. Whenever they like cross from like one character to the next to like something related to like the next, I think they always do a really good job with those editing. So I don't think we've ever brought it up, but it's just a really well done show.
I think it's
the editing.
Yeah, it's funny. We probably haven't spoken about the editing much. At least I don't recall. We might have talked about it, like, in previous seasons, maybe. Maybe when we talked about season one, perhaps. I have no idea. I'm not about to go back and listen to them. You guys can tell me if we did. But I think whenever you're dealing with a show that, especially something this complicated, where you're juggling not just the number of characters, but time periods and whatever, a lot of it does come down to editing. So, yes, it is a very well, tightly edited, almost seamless show in that regard. And the additional conceit this season of having the two universes, so they do that, as we talked about before, that little warping effect when they go from one universe to the other to signal us. Even though there is a point where they don't do it in this episode, but then I understood why they didn't do it, even though I was confused for about a minute. We'll get to that part later. It involves the meeting of the Claudias, actually. But there was one other thing I wanted to quickly, and I'm going to time myself, quickly mention that I've probably never mentioned before. And if I have, let me know. In any of the dark podcasts. Have I ever said anything about the opening title credit sequence that they do for the show?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't feel I ever have. Because something had occurred to me when I was... Because usually, quite often, I hit skip intro, thank you Netflix, and I go right to the episode. But I kind of left it on tonight. And, you know, the first thing that occurred to me was the whole kaleidoscope twinning visual effects that they always do, you know, really seems even more, like, on the nose, you know, for what's going on this season with, you know, the parallel universes and whatever. But then I was watching, I was like, huh, I noticed some stuff, and it made me step out of the episode, and I went back and I checked out a couple episodes from the two previous seasons. Because I just was...
Yeah.
First of all, I wanted to know if they maintained the same credit sequence from the beginning of a season to the end of the season. Number two, yeah. I already knew just from the opening image of the current season that they clearly are changing the imagery, you know, from season to season. But I wanted to actually take a little bit of a look at what the imagery was in each season. And
go ahead.
Okay, you know what it reminds me of? And this, hold on with me here, because we're going to
Oh, God.
No, it's not a bad thing. But we're,
oh, I thought you were going to bring up Game of Thrones.
No, that doesn't really Game of Thrones at all. Has enough. No, totally stepping way out of genre whatsoever. It kind of reminds me of. Well, it kind of reminds me a little bit of two different HBO shows. It's a little bit like Oz, and it's a little bit like The Wire.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
And there may be some folks who are like, what are you talking about? And the reason is if you go back and you watch the credit sequence for each season, you'll notice that if you, even though it's, every once in a while some things are harder to figure out what's going on than others. Actually, this season's credit sequence may be the most difficult to try to, you know, piece together what you're seeing half the time.
But yeah, it definitely gets more complicated each season.
It's much more complicated, even though, and they keep going for a very kind of, the imagery ends up having an almost like insect-like quality to it half the time, I've noticed.
Yeah.
But if you go through the opening credit sequence to each season, you see things foretelling things that are going to happen during the course of the season.
Correct.
And I actually got, for a moment there, when I was watching the opening credits to season one, I actually, and I believe I'm wrong about this, because I thought about it, I was like, no, that can't be right. I actually thought there were things in the season one credit sequence which were foretelling things that happened in later seasons, but it's like, no, you know what, I probably just don't remember season one as clearly, and these are things that happened then. You know, because when I saw the gun, I was thinking, oh, God, is that Adam's gun when he shoots, you know, Martha at the end of season two? And I said, no, probably someone shoots a gun in season one. I'm just not, clicking in my head which character it was.
It's just Hannah taking Alexander's gun out of her, like, cigar box that she stores it in.
Oh, okay. But, you know, and you know, just like in season two, like, the first thing you see is that pick, which isn't really, there's nothing that big a deal about that, because before we even get to the opening credit sequence of season two, we already see that pick used to kill the guy in the beginning of the season. But you do see a few, at least three or four other things during the course of the credit. It's like, oh, that's going to happen later on. And you have to try to figure out what you're looking at, but that's definitely happening there. And they also start to incorporate, you're able to actually recognize characters to a certain extent. You know, definitely Jonas and Martha, and I think those are Adam's eyes that we're seeing a bunch of times. So, again, the current one is much more difficult to kind of figure out what it is you're seeing. Obviously, that's by design, both figuratively and literally. I'm sure if someone was silly enough, like, I don't feel like binging 8 hours, but I'm going to use this software and just, like, stretch out this imagery and compress it so I can see what it really is. But probably, oh, now I know who Adam really is or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, it took a little bit longer to do that, but I thought it was funny, so I wanted to bring it up.
It's a really cool opening credit sequence. I watch it like every time, and I've never skipped it for any of my watches.
I have been, especially if I'm trying to get things done in a more timely fashion. Even though it depends on the show, sometimes I'll skip the intro, sometimes I won't. It also depends on how fond I am of the intro. And some shows, there are reasons to keep the intro on, as I've mentioned in older podcasts. Like, I always warn people if they watch a show like an unfortunate series of events, the thing with Neil Patrick Harris, you need to watch the opening credits each time because he sings a different song each episode, every two episodes, you know, telling you what's going to happen in the episode. Huh. And he sometimes will do a slightly different version, and it's because each thing is a two-parter. He might even tweak the second one. So it's like, that's reason enough to kind of listen. It's the one bad thing with the streaming services sometimes is some of these shows kind of do some fun things during the end credits. And sometimes folks aren't aware of it because, you know, they're already like, next episode in 7 seconds, six, and you're not even aware of it. It's worse if you're actually watching a show that exists pre-Netflix, and you might miss some great stuff. I feel bad for people who maybe are watching, going back and watching Arrested Development on Netflix, but they're missing the final credits of all the episodes, so they'll never hear like the lyrics to the Mother Boy song or something like that. Good times. Okay, so let's get back to the episode since I thought it was being really interesting, but it brought us to a screeching halt, apparently. So, we are in the future, and we get One of the things I think I liked about this episode, a couple times, we get some mixes of characters I don't believe we've seen interact before.
Yeah.
So, Adam and Charlotte. And we're in 2053, and, you know, I'll give them credit. That one shot of all the corpses hanging from the trees, I found that to be a creepier image of the 2053 phase or whatever than anything previous we've seen of that era.
Yeah, I mean, 2052 had a few shots of it, but this is just, I don't know, it was just more of like a wide shot, and I think it was really effective. Plus, I think it was when Jonas was going through there, I think it was a lot darker. This is like, you know, pretty lit up.
Yeah, it's more clear to see, but it's just something because it's, I don't know if the corpses are just old and decaying, or they practically look like they're burned, even though they're hanging. It just kind of, you know, stuck with me.
Plus, they're there kind of like in a matter of fact way, like nobody gives them any attention. So, like when Jonas like walks by him and is just like, "Oh, I'm dumb and clueless, and these things are spooky," you know, then there's attention to him. But when they're just kind of like there as part of the scenery, mm-hmm. I think that maybe adds a little to it.
Right, because they're not being acknowledged by anyone, so it's for us to acknowledge it. So we do hear that it seems like she's supposed to be trying to decide something, and you're kind of wondering, is Adam screwing with her, telling some bullshit story or not? You get the impression at this point in the episode that there's going to be like another major sacrifice coming. Although I guess that kind of is one of the thematic things about Dark. Everyone seems to be sacrificing horrific things throughout every season, if not every episode. It's funny that just thinking about when we were talking about did our season 2 podcast, and even at the very beginning of doing this season, we kept talking about things in terms of Adam versus Claudia, when obviously, and it's almost a no-brainer now because just their names alone, it's Adam versus Eve. I feel silly saying Eva because it seems like, you know, depending if you just read the subtitles or you watch the English dubbing version or you watch it in the German, they seem to alternate between saying Eve or Eva. It's Adam and Eve. Yeah. Let's just say it's Eve. Eva just sounds.
Yeah, in the German version, it's Eva, like every single time. In the audio and the subtitles.
Well, you know what? If it's Adam and not Adama, which I thought you'd appreciate that, then it's going to be Eve and not Eva, as far as I'm concerned. Now, you see what I did there?
I do.
So definitely, I mean, even though I think we were already clear on this, it's crystal clear at this point. And they're really delineating things that, you know, it's Adam versus Eva, you know, who's to say who is the light and who's the dark, but they, you know, is Adam working and trying to destroy everything? Is Eva trying to save everything? But they both seem to lie all the time, so who can you really trust? I don't really trust either one of them. I think they're both morally corrupt to a certain extent. And much the way Adam and Eva are kind of the each other's counterpart, I would say, but is kind of the way they were treating Jonas and Martha. Which, you know, if we want to, you know what, it's the elephant in the room, maybe we can just cut right to it and then we can just go back to the rest of the episode. Let's talk about the ending.
Huh.
I know, I said before we started, we're gonna do this episode chronologically unless you want to jump around. And now I'm realizing, am I really going to wait 45 minutes before we talk about the ending? What did you think of the ending? What was your take on it before I say anything about it for a change?
I was impressed with the symmetry of it, like, you know, how it matched up with what happened to Martha in the last season, but I was definitely surprised as to what happened. I suppose it's like maybe there's some kind of a factor in how, like, the grouchy 1880s Jonas doesn't remember any of this, like, traveling around with Martha stuff. Mm-hmm. So I guess this event might be some kind of a factor in that. But I was pretty intrigued by the, like, all the monuments in the ground afterwards, the various people. So I've got a variety of stuff to talk about there. The monuments. What did you think? Yeah, you know, the stuff on the ground with all the different names. And
how okay. The word monument kind of threw me.
Like in a cemetery, you know, they're called monuments, even if they're like flat, just because, you know,
I got you. It just wouldn't be the word I would use. But then I don't know what I would call it, so it's fine. First of all, I just love the idea that we had all the Marthas in the room. That was great. Because outside of the creepy Scarface trio guys, I don't think we've seen that many versions of one character in one space before. We've definitely seen two. Maybe we've seen three. We've not. I'm sure. I'm pretty positive we've never seen four all at once.
Definitely not. Now, do we know why she has that scar on her face? Did I just forget how her face got cut open?
Her face got cut when she was going under the wire of the fence to get to the nuclear power plant.
Well, like the left side of her face got cut doing that, but like the right side of her face has like a longer scar that all
we
three
haven't,
of
we
have.
Haven't we haven't got we haven't gotten to.
Okay. That. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Because she seems to have stitches right now, but I haven't really seen how. I don't think we saw that happen.
Traveler Martha has a big scar too.
Yeah, and it's fresh and bloody, and it's like looks like it has stitches. So.
Huh. I honestly don't remember. I'd have to go back and watch.
I can't remember what the last thing we saw her do before this was. I guess she was in the past, and then she traveled to the future.
She was in the past. She runs to her room and zaps out of there before they can catch her. But then she goes and I thought she zaps over to Adam. Doesn't she zap?
Yeah.
Adam?
I think so.
I don't recall, but I absolutely do not remember anything happening that would have caused her to have some big scar on her face.
Right.
So the only things that happened that I know what's his name was manhandling her a little bit, but I don't think he did anything to cause that. I honestly don't recall anything like that. You got me curious because it did not stick in my head. They made a big deal and point of the one scratch. I don't recall the other thing, so I'd have to go take a look at it if that's a bloody smear or an actual open wound or something. Anyway, I'm confused by that. I appreciated there's a long-standing tradition of killing who you think the main character is well before a show is over, kind of thing. I won't name all the shows and movies that have done this. And if I was going to do that, I'd use Psycho instead of anything else. Not the show you thought I was going to say. I'm not going to say that show. I thought it could have been a neater parallel if Eve had been the one to shoot Jonas as opposed to Traveler and Martha.
Right.
Only because Adam was the one who shot Martha on the other side. But I think it has a greater impact on, naive Martha as opposed to traveling Martha, because she her mind still might not register that Eva is actually her, but she damn well knows traveling Martha is her. she's only a year, probably only a year older than her or whatever. So I was kind of like, huh. All right. The only problem with it, let me put it this way. I have no problem with it as far as the show we're watching, how the story is unfolding, and where is it going to go. I'm all for that. And I love the fact that it's probably causing a million and one headaches for people who can't get their head around the 8 million paradoxes and time loops, and how can you kill Jonas at this age when we've seen him at all these other ages where he's still alive, and they don't understand, how you might actually be creating multiple Jonases by creating different time streams and whatever. This is what happens when you grow up reading comic books. The only regret about it is I wish I had been more emotionally affected by it. Because this show has affected me emotionally with certain characters at times. Not as much as it might, maybe because there's so much plot going on, it's hard for it to get to have too much of a hold on me, but at least I know I have been affected. I'm very easily affected, I'll be affected by a sad commercial, quite frankly. But I didn't get really that emotionally affected by this, which I found odd. It doesn't mean it was bad. I don't think it was bad. I'm just saying, if there are shortcomings to the series, and there are, because you know there's not that many perfect series, that's one of them. That certain things don't quite have the emotional weight that I'd want them to, because there's so much plot and mystery and Byzantine things going on. It's harder to get that emotionally attached to that many characters or to care in that sense.
Yeah, I think it was just easier to care about Martha getting shot just because, like, she wasn't quite as, like, completely clueless and just kind of, like, whiny like Jonas can be quite often at this age.
It's the killing of a total innocent, where everything we've already heard, Jonas, maybe not so innocent. And I'm sorry, I'm a bad person, but one of my first thoughts when Jonas is lying there dying or dead and Martha's over him and she's grabbing at his wounds and whatever and her hands are getting soaked in blood, and it's like, oh, is that going to be another parallel? Are her hands not going to be soaked and dirty with blood for the rest of the season the way his were? I bet they will. See, there really isn't that. I mean, I don't know if there's really much more to say about it, because as Eva, no, wait, I don't know if it's Eva or just older Martha or in between Martha says it. One of those two. You can tell me which one. I think it's older. I think it's old lady. I think it's Eva who said it. Eve says it. His role is done. So if that's true, then there may not be any more reason to see him.
Right.
You know, the only thing, the reason I was surprised by it a little bit, earlier in the episode, I think it's when they were about to try to break into the nuclear power plant, and that's when she gets the scar and Jonas has the little epiphany about Eve and that she's been lying, and maybe I'm doing what everybody tells me to do, and it's probably the thing that really helps set everything in motion or keep everything going instead of stopping anything. For a moment there, I was like, oh, maybe his anger about all this stuff, this is what puts him on the path to become Adam. But then I said, but wait a minute, but I'm skipping the middle, Jonas.
Yeah.
But there is something that needs to be pointed out. I keep talking about, and again, I'm just throwing it out there. It's probably stupid bullshit, whatever it is. You know, I've been saying over and over, I am still not completely convinced that Adam is actually Jonas. I also want to point out that the middle version, Jonas, yes, I know he showed that scar and he had information in season 2. I know. But he's still listed in the credits always as the stranger. I'm like 90-something% sure he's Jonas, but I just have that little bit of doubt. We only have a few episodes to go. I don't know how they could change that at this point. But I'm just, I don't know. I'm still more skeptical about Adam, though at this point we're running out of time for that reveal. But I'm just saying, I don't trust anything I'm hearing, basically, from anyone on this show.
Yeah. And I mean, and I guess, you know, I mean, they all have the same scar on their neck, but I suppose, you know, somebody else could have, or, you know, that could be faked or whatever.
Well, right. There's nothing that's been done that couldn't have been doctored to look that way if you were going to try to pass yourself off as somebody, you know, especially if you're coming from the future. Really, you know, you can't fake a scar. Of course you could. Now, if there are other things, you know, no one's doing any DNA testing here. So, the memories were very, he didn't really go too heavily into the memories. Again, I'm fairly sure that he is who he is, who he says he is, at least the middle Jonas is concerned. Adam, I just, still not convinced. I don't care if the season's over, I'm still going to see it after the season. Still not convinced. It's going to be a little DVD extra. You know, narrated by Michael Emerson or something. Okay, so let me see. Oh, I said all that. No, I skipped the joke I wrote in my notes. God damn it. I refer to them as AARP plus versions of Jonas and Martha. Okay. So, the other thing to keep in mind. Go on.
Oh, just if you want to talk about the various names that are, there's some information to be gleaned from the names that are on the floor there.
Go for it.
Okay, so there's one name that I'm not super familiar with. It's Sebastian Krueger, but I think that's just Hannah's dad, probably. Because Hannah's last name is Krueger, so like that she's like so he's like next to her. Because this thing is kind of set up like a convoluted family tree,
right.
but there's also like some characters have their name on there in multiple spots, like Dronte, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Hanno Tauber is on there in multiple spots. So I think that must be Noah's like name. So I think not like an alias, just like that's his name.
So that's what his actual name is, and Noah was the much like Jonas taking on the name of Adam. So they're all taking
right.
So basically all these characters are taking on biblical names, which
yeah,
okay, that makes sense. I got yeah. it.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote a note earlier in the episode as to like because I was wondering who Peter's mother was, and I think maybe we talked before just like you know how the hell did Helgi get somebody pregnant because he's such a freaking schlub, but the name of that character is Ulla Schmidt. Have we seen anybody by that name yet, or has anybody referred to her? I don't think so. The younger Peter talked about his mother in this episode, but
Ulla. The closest I can think of anyone named Ulla was in Mel Brooks is The Producers, maybe. I don't think I've seen it on the show.
Yeah. And then for some reason up there with the Helgi's family tree, with his mother and father, there's also an Anatol Veliev for some reason. I don't know who the hell that is or why there'd be another character he's between Bernd Doppler and Goethe Doppler, Helgi's parents, so I think that's a little strange because there's only three episodes left. Also, there's a Silja Tiedemann that's next to Bartosz and kind of like near Alexander and Regina. So is there another Tiedemann that we're forgetting about? I don't think so. Maybe it's like Bartosz has a daughter named Celia. Oh. Maybe that's the girl with the scar on her face in the future. I don't know.
Could be. I'm trying to think of anyone that we've seen. No, I can't think of anybody.
Yeah, because there's Egon and Doris, and then there's, you know, the ones, and then, you know, Claudia. But I don't know who Celia is, but she's on both sides of the, both realities. There seems to be one, so I don't know who that is exactly, but they definitely caught my eye. I had to, like, slowly look at it, and then I had to just take a look and see what I could find on it. But as to who these characters that we don't know yet, I think it's interesting because I mean they took the time to print it in stone on the floor.
Yeah, it's not like the prop department isn't working for free. There's got to be a reason you're going to do that. That's interesting.
So with three episodes left, I guess we got to see if we figure out who Celia Tiedemann is, who this Anatol Veliev is, and Helgi's whoever Helgi got pregnant, Peter's mom is.
I don't want to think about Helgi getting anybody pregnant, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are we? Where was I going to say? We know that we're one day to the apocalypse in the alternate universe here. I thought it was kind of sweet a little bit when Martha calls out to Jonas as he's walking away, but then she has nothing to say in that moment. Is this where she was going to tell him that she loves him or something after like that one night?
I'm wondering what she was going to say there, because it definitely, I don't think it's been addressed yet, or right. will be, I guess. But it definitely, they did it for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just doing a quick skim over my notes and seeing which, just trying to consolidate things a little bit here. All right, there's a few major storylines going on in this episode that we haven't touched on.
Do you want to just go by storyline, or?
Well, I'm up to one right now, so I guess we're going to go somewhat. We can bounce back and forth if we just go in the order of my notes. It doesn't matter. There's a bunch of things that happened in the 80s. Basically the two big major things, and if I'm forgetting something, it's just because I haven't scrolled down enough. We've got the stuff going on with Katarina and trying to get Ulrich out of the crazy house. And we've got the stuff going on with Charlotte. The Katarina thing is fairly straightforward, so I don't know if there's a heck of a lot to say there other than the incredibly tragic nature of it, although inevitable. I mean, let me be honest. You know, we have the whole scene with Katharina talking to Ulrich and telling him how she's gonna get them out, and then they're gonna get Mikkel too and everything. And I'm watching the scene, and here's the truth. Number one, I was already like, well, you know, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and Ulrich's just like, yeah, you know, you can try that, but none of this should ever work.
Yeah. So that was number one. And number two, and now we're going to get to the other part. You get the whole conference, you get the whole sequence or scene, it's not a sequence, it's a scene, between Katharina and Helen, who's actually her mother, in the woods. This, to me, personally, other than the Elizabeth scene, and you know what I'm talking about, I think it's neck and neck, which was the most bothersome, disturbing scene to me. And I know most people would go with the Elizabeth thing and say, yeah, I know, but that's the easy choice. But it's only like, but this bothered me on a couple other levels, and the tragic nature of it, because this woman doesn't know she's murdering her own daughter. Doesn't believe it's so fucked up.
Or she believes it, like, because, I mean, I guess we've established that she was getting an abortion when she was super young in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks, like, you know, you go to that dead, that aborted fetuses go to hell. And that's what she thinks is happening here, which is really disturbing as fuck. As well as the fact that, like, she's abusive to Katharina in the 80s, because, like, when Katharina is, like, getting hickeys, she's just, like, you know, worried that she's going to get pregnant and have to get an abortion, and that's why she's fucking shitty. What the fuck? The math works out, but it's very, very unsettling.
All of it is just, it's disturbing, it's unsettling, and it's sad, because, in a way, even if I didn't, I mean, I'm not going to say I loved the Katharina character all that much, you know, but I understood her. I mean, she was kind of like, you know, she was the wife whose husband was, you know, cheating on her, and, you know, so she was getting screwed over by him, you know, she got screwed over back in the 80s when she was ratted out, you know, when lied about her, you know, being possibly raped in the school and all the other stuff. But in a way, I feel like she's kind of like the normal person who's being exposed to all this, and she's just doing what a person does. They're not paying attention to, oh wait, this will unravel the time space continuum, and what'll happen because he won't get to be his father. It's like, no, she's a wife and mother trying to get back her husband and son, clean and whatever. And that's what makes it. And the fact that this version of her husband is 33, 34 years older than she last saw him, you know, isn't even phasing her. It doesn't. I don't know if she could have, like, said, hey, maybe I should go back to the 50s and try to get him, you know, try to get him help, you know, stop him there. But I don't know. She definitely, I feel like she thinks she can get back. I don't know what the story is as far as whether she could travel back through time again, or if she would go through the cavern portal or what. She doesn't seem to have much of a plan. Gosh, her saying that, and we'll get Mikkel too. Meanwhile, you don't even know where he is. So how are you going to get him?
Yeah.
But it's just everything. It's just the tragic upon tragic, and, you know, then you see the metal.
And the metal, and then just realizing it's like, oh, that's why Jonas finds the metal in the sand, like when he's hanging out with Martha in, like, 2018, I guess, whatever, the year before, or whatever year, 2018, 2019, I don't remember.
That metal's been around. There's been a lot of hands on that thing.
Yeah.
So that pretty much ties up. So there you go. Pretty much ties up to Katharina storyline. So let's get to the other one, which is a little bit more of a head twister, just not disturbing, just twisty. So we get to see young Charlotte, and, you know, interacting with the old clockmaker, old H.G. Tannhaus. By the way, I finally, you know. Obviously, it didn't just occur to me. I realized, oh, he's a descendant of the blind guy who's Tannhaus in the 1888.
Right.
I kind of figured out, probably based on the approximate age I assume him to be, and the age that blind guy was back in 1888, that Tannhaus was back in 1888. I'm gonna go off on a limb and say he's probably his great grandfather. That's
yeah, that makes sense.
I was trying to figure it out because you know, you can't be totally sure how old the professor is. I mean, I don't know if he was someone might have been pregnant in 1921 with him, and I'm not sure.
Because I think he's probably like, you know, 30 or so, and 35 in 1950.
When we see him in the 50s, right? Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm thinking he's probably in his mid to late 60s, so that would actually work out math wise. You know, that maybe he's born in that previous thing. So maybe he's 66 years old or 67, whatever. But yeah, I assume he's the great grandfather. The other guy was his great grandfather, or he's the great grandson. So there's a certain lineage thing going on here. I thought it was funny, not that funny. Just when Charlotte's asking him initially about can we rewind time and change things, whatever, and I'm just staring at the screen. And I'm going, isn't that basically the point and plot of every single time travel movie and TV show that's ever been done? Which then made me write down this note, which actually was one of the reasons I use it in the intro. The time travel thing hasn't really come up for characters of the 80s as far as I'm being aware of it, so maybe it's fine. But if it did, I'd be like, I'm going to call bullshit if all these people are aware of time travel in the 80s and not one person mentions Back to the Future, which is a really big movie just a year and a half earlier. Just saying. It's worldwide. Yeah.
But I was glad that we got this scene just because, like, I was randomly musing about it at the beginning of our last podcast.
Yes.
So it was kind of cool that we got an answer to that. I mean, you know, it seems like the kind of show that you're going to get an answer to most of your questions, but it is still satisfying when, even though, of course, it brings up more questions.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, you better prepare yourself. We might not get an answer to your questions about the monuments on the floor in Eva's lair. That wouldn't shock me. But, yeah, I don't know if they're going to leave too much on the table with this series. They seem to be taking a lot of time to knit threads together just to indicate where things sprang. It's kind of funny. The previous episode was titled The Origin, and obviously what they're really referring to is what we saw at the end of the episode, where we find out what the story is about the leader of the unknown trio there. Who, and I believe you've already made the joke, who if he actually is the son of Martha and Jonas, maybe that's why he looks a bit inbred. Even though technically Jonas and Martha from different universes wouldn't be inbred. That's why he should have stayed with her, because technically he's not screwing his aunt, cousin, whatever. I forget the relation at this point.
Yeah.
But it's this episode we get a lot. I felt we actually got more specific origins, because now we're getting like we get this whole thing about the origins of Charlotte, especially the night when she came into Tannhaus's life.
Yes.
Here's my question. So, you know, he tells the story. I won't recount the whole thing. Everyone listening to this podcast already heard it. I'm assuming we're wondering one thing. Who are the two strange-looking women who brought Charlotte to him? Are they from 2053? Yeah. He said strange-looking. Elizabeth is kind of strange-looking in 2053. Could be her. But who would be the other one? The other chick? Were they wearing the same outfits from 2053? Maybe that's why they were strange looking. I was kind of wondering about that. And he makes and he also makes a point of saying, "And the granddaughter that was never found."
Yeah, as well as the fact that a truck ran them off the bridge, killing his son and daughter-in-law. And so, who the fuck did that? Where's the granddaughter? Who are these women? Which is, you know, at least who could have dropped the baby off is
right.
At least something we could consider.
My first assumption is the trio were behind the truck.
Yeah, that's my first thought, too.
Because also what makes that fit neatly, because we look at them as being agents of Eva, or Eve. I did it again. Whereas if it's, say, hypothetically speaking, since she's there with them now, if it's Elizabeth and maybe someone else from 2053 who brings the baby that turns out to be Charlotte, well, they're working on behalf of Adam. So that, so you see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you make a move, yeah. I make a move. It's, you know, so again, it's like they're playing chess. It's like a counter move, you know, just to keep everything going as far as the how things are supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's Franziska and the girl with the scar on her face.
But yeah, Franziska. That would have been the other one. Not probably, but we got three women there. It's probably more likely to be, actually, now that you mention it, it's probably more likely to be Franziska and the other one, since it's hard to call Elizabeth a disciple of Adam, but she's there with him.
Yeah, it could be some version of Claudia, too.
So,
I mean, just not necessarily, but Claudia is hanging around, you know.
I don't know. I just feel that Claudia's level... of meddling.
And she doesn't have a connection to these characters, this family tree either. But
we're gonna get to Claudia in a second here, obviously, because you know you kind of gotta, because that's kind of huge. But I feel that a lot. I mean, again, I could be proven wrong in the very 10 minutes into the next episode. I feel a lot of the setting things in motion. Of things that with characters we've already seen has kind of happened already a lot with Claudia. I don't know if there's more things for her to do. I'll just skip to it now, even though I kind of didn't finish talking about the Charlotte stuff. I kind of felt a lot of the point of the scene with the alternate universe version of Claudia showing up to see Claudia in 2020. By the way, and there was no warp. When they went from one, because that was the previous scene was on the in the other universe, and they just went to black for a second, and then when they came back, they were in that location. And the only reason I assume they didn't do the warp thing initially was because they have a character who's coming from one universe to the other. But I think they didn't do it later on, so I got a little confused by that. Again, it's not a big. I'm not saying it's a mistake. It's just now that I'm become very aware of that. So if you don't do it, I'm kind of aware you didn't do it. You know, it's like not reversing the letters or numbers. You know, when it's something. Whereas I know it's like the title of the episode, all the letters were all reversed. I don't know if that's been the case all season, or it's only when they start off in the other universe or what. But the point of what I was trying to say, which probably got lost in that mishmash, was I thought. And if I said it right, tell me I'm repeating myself. I thought that the point of the whole Claudia thing was just to set that all in motion. Like, so if anyone's wondering, but how does she start? How does she have that book? Why does she do the thing she does? Like, this is why. This is what starts her on that path. I think a lot of this is showing us how people get started on certain paths as well. Again, that's just I could be totally wrong about that, but it felt like housekeeping to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Is that the... Also... Now I'll let Dan talk. Is that the first time we've seen the alternate universe version of Claudia? I thought it was.
We saw her like when they had the introduction to that universe, just because, you know.
Did we?
Yeah, in the episode where they're just like, you know, showing what's going on in town, I guess.
You see, the reason why I don't think we did, I'm not saying you're wrong. Well, obviously, I guess I am saying you're wrong. Because when we go to that universe, it's taking place in present day. Well, if what's going on that planet is kind of paralleling things, then Claudia isn't around in present
day. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, but we saw, like, somebody back, or I don't know, didn't. I don't know.
I mean, I go back and look at my notes, but I'm pretty sure it's the first time we see her. Because this
have we been in the 80s in universe 2 yet? Maybe not.
Yes. No, wait, no, no, we have, no, have we?
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure.
I'm thinking about it. Give me a second. No, I don't think we have. Because we haven't seen that version of Ulrich or Katarina or Hannah in the alternate universe. We've only seen them on Earth 1, shall we say. So I don't think we have.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't feel we've bounced around time as much in the alternate universe the way we have. I think a lot of the time bouncing is still going on in on Earth 1, as I like to say.
Yeah.
I'm confused about one little thing. I know we're kind of like flipping back and forth, which is what, but whatever, folks, you can follow. It's not that confusing. I want to flip quickly back to the Charlotte Tannhouse stuff. Just one thing I got a little confused by. And maybe it's just, and it's the conceit of the show, and there's nothing wrong with this, where you have an object that, or a totem or an object that seems to keep popping up and to a point where it's like there could be multiple versions of them at a certain point, and so on and so forth. That pocket watch again. I got a little confused with the pocket watch. Because, okay, we've seen it a number of times in places at this point. I mean, we sort of saw as close as we're going to get, probably, because I'm assuming the show isn't going to go back to the early 19th century or even before that. Though that would be amazing if they did.
Yeah,
1512. We saw what I feel is sort of like the origin of the pocket watch when we see the young version of the blind Tannhaus being given it, and I think we had estimated that was probably like, what is that, like the 1820s or something like that?
Yeah, the 1820s.
Right. So we see it there with him. Now but then we see it all over the place. Now, isn't that the thing that Noah gives? He gives it to Elizabeth or Charlotte?
Yeah. So like it is a Tannhaus family heirloom, I guess. However, okay. The Professor Tannhaus doesn't have it. He gets it from like the old ladies when they drop off Charlotte. Right. So I'm guessing he just like assumes that the baby's name is Charlotte because that's what it says in the watch. However, that's just Charlotte that like, you know, Gustav Tannhaus like knew in 1820 or something. Right. Maybe that was his wife or the little boy's the blind boy's mother or something like that. So he just assumes. But so somebody gets that watch. So whoever brings Charlotte back to them has it. And yes, Noah has it at some point.
Doesn't Noah give it to Elizabeth?
I'm not. Noah gave it to young Elizabeth.
Right.
So maybe she carried. Maybe she had it until like.
She's the one who comes. She's one of the people who comes back and gives it.
Yeah, maybe you know, because we don't know where. Yeah, you know, do we don't know where her and Charlotte got sent to, do we? So maybe like
no, we don't know yet. We don't even know if they're both going or not. Are they both going, or is maybe she's going with her, but only one's going to step through and the other one's saying goodbye? You know.
Yeah, I got the impression they're both going, and like because Adam tells Franziska, like, you know, you have to let them go, or I think that's what he said.
Okay.
It could have been her or there.
It's one of those things you're not sure because you're the problem. It's, you know, it's a minor thing, but when you're watching something that's in one language that you're going by, you know, trying to figure out what they're saying, or you're reading the subtitles, sometimes things get lost in translation. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So even something as simple as a pronoun could be. And that mistake can kind of make all the difference.
Yeah, but you still, so theoretically, I guess Charlotte and Elizabeth, the visions that are in 2050 right now have, you know, I guess Elizabeth probably has the watch, and then they have to go, then they have to go find the baby at some point. Mm-hmm. I guess it'd be, you know, I guess 2030 or something, because hopefully, no, it's not knocking her up when she's 12 or 13. But
okay. Well, since you went and made that comment, let's. And I think I'm just because I'm realizing it's taking a little longer than I thought.
But they'd have to travel and get her, and then travel again, which I'm not really sure how they would do in 2030-ish, 2040, sometime.
Hey man, now that we've established that not only are people from the other universe popping over here, with much easier to, you know, carry around and so on, and have extra supplies of dark matter for time travel, and if they are working, if some of them might even be interacting with Adam, then I'm assuming anyone who's in the future has more free reign to be able to bounce around as much as they want, as opposed to someone, you know, way back when may only have that last bit, a little bit left. Like, we don't know, if Hannah, for example, is trapped in, you know, the 50s, because we don't know if she has any more of that stuff left. Whereas someone like Traveler Martha, well, we establish she's got like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 vials, and that might be the case with anyone coming from, you know, the future. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they go up to the big glob and just scoop up some. I don't know how I figured out how they do that. But not all that important. What is important is the one, I'm thinking the one major, good Lord, there's a lot of stuff I didn't talk about. Oh, well. All right, okay. Oh, well, it's going to be an hour plus. God damn it. All right, so Elizabeth. Peter and Elizabeth. Yeah, that would be the number, a very close number 2 for super disturbing. And, you know, screw you, young Noah, for spoiling the death of Peter for me. Since I spent the entire scene waiting for it to happen, since you already said he was going to die. I really got annoyed that they did that in the show. I wish they hadn't done that. Because it would have just been a bit more shocking to me if that hadn't happened. So I think the writers kind of screwed up a little bit there. But other than that...
Young Noah's already creepy enough, so he doesn't have to just been like, you know what's going on, not doing anything about it for us to, like, you know, think he's a creep. He's already kind of a creep, so...
I have to, I mean, I don't, that other than the fact that even before this all happens, Peter and Elizabeth are so sad.
Oh, yeah.
They're like right now, it's like, oh, God, you're like the two, I mean, understandably, but you're, you know, yeah. Outside of Ulrich, you're the two saddest characters on the show right now. And I understand why. I'm just like, it's like instant, it's like watching like clips from, what's that Viggo Mortensen thing? The Road or something? You know, they basically look like they're rejecting the road.
Yeah, pretty much. But the fact that they telegraphed it—I mean, you know—definitely changes things. I suppose we would have expected it to happen at some point anyway, because she's going to end up with Noah.
Right. I didn't need you to call your shot.
Plus, and like I wrote a note that. As soon as we saw the young Peter, who was cast very well, just like always, mm-hmm. For the most part, he was cast low. But as soon as we saw him, I'm just like, oh, this is the episode where Peter's going to get killed.
Yes.
That
was kind of, first of all, you go into the episode and the episode is titled Life and Death. You already know, okay, some people are going to die in this episode. I might have left this out before. I can't believe I forgot to say it if I did forget to say it. Hey, remember how... You know how I mentioned a bunch of times in a previous podcast or two that I accidentally got spoiled on something involving someone's death on the show? Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering this week if it was Katarina or Peter.
It was Katarina.
Oh, wow. I figured it was Peter.
The show spoiled that.
That's a bummer. Yeah, well, no, that's the fact that you could have confirmed that. I was hoping that it was Peter.
So. It's worse because I think it's the Darkopedia page or something. I was looking up something, and I just they have the character name... And it just said status, you know, alive or deceased, and then right under it, you know, how they died.
So that's too bad because, like, you know, she definitely didn't get killed in the nuclear explosion, so that sucks.
I just
no way to dock yourself.
Yeah, I just saw deceased. I said killed by Helene Walt. I was like, and the funny thing was, I first saw that, I didn't know who that was. It didn't click who that was.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad but I did realize, you know, a couple episodes ago. I was like, okay, well. But look, how good was I? I didn't say a word. I didn't let on at all on our previous podcast.
Yeah.
But it got us.
Well, yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's really much else to say about the scene other than, you know, I'll confess I might have spent maybe 20 seconds wondering if the big guy was somebody. Then I realized, oh, no, he's probably just going to get killed. So he's just this random scuzzbag who shows up. You know.
It was kind of shot a little dark. And I wondered if, like, I briefly thought, like, maybe he was, like, the like Eric's father, the guy that works the drive truck for Alexander. But I remembered that we saw him in one of the, like, dead body photos. So I guess it's just some guy.
Right. So I'm just skimming over this to see if there's any... I mean, I know There's other things that happen in the episode. I don't feel it's incumbent on us to go over every single minute of the episode. That's crazy. No recap or review really does that. Well, maybe recaps do, but that's not what we're doing here. Review does that.
No.
We haven't talked about Charlotte going to meet Alexander, for example. You know, it's okay.
I wrote in my notes, Alexander's destruction begins in all caps, and then nothing.
I like that. I feel like, I don't know, has it been this season or a previous season where we kind of joked making Alexander out to be a lot more important than he really is? Because, he murdered somebody. Ooh, guess what? I don't care. Ooh, there's a plastic bag.
You know? I thought the guy that played creepy, future vagrant did an unsettlingly good job of just, deciding whether he should rape Elizabeth or not, his body language and whatever. Just it was really unpleasant to watch, of course, but I thought he did a really good job maybe I shouldn't, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm gonna do this.
And he never caught on. I was interesting, they never had that moment where he never caught on that she was actually deaf.
Nope.
They didn't have that moment, right? Because I thought they were going to have that. But, credit, because that might have felt a little cliched or something. But, I was like, oh, never think so. There is one. I don't even know if I even want to bother with it or not. I'm just skimming over what I'm reading here. A lot of the stuff we actually did talk about. One thing we didn't. Maybe you can end it on this, which is probably not the best thing to end on, but whatever. Between Adam and Eve, or Eva, or older Martha, or this one or that one, there's all this talk where it's about needing things to go the way they always have been, or, whatever, to keep maintaining the endless loop, to maintain balance, or whatever that they're trying to say here. The big thing, maybe it's, is it Claudia doing this? Maybe it's Claudia's scene. The thing, I think it is, actually. It's the one little detail we haven't talked about, and I'm not sure what to make of it, or if I should care about it or not. The thing that they talk about where, traveling through the cavern, through the portal thing, whatever, and every time they've done that little, one of the Jonases has done that, they've left some traces behind of cesium. Whatever. And I guess that from the way they describe it, it's maybe that's kind of like an element, it's like one of the building blocks of the dark matter. So maybe by the fact of them traversing multiple times is what creates the wellspring of dark matter that that we see later on. I guess that's the point of it.
Yeah. That's what they described, and unfortunately, I have to bring this up, but that's what happens in the series finale of Star Trek: The Next Generation, where the three Enterprise do the same thing at three different time periods, and then it creates destructive wormhole thing. So that's pretty much what they did here, except it was just Jonas crawling through the dirt this time. Yeah.
It's a valid reference. I won't knock it.
Yeah.
It's easy
to understand, I guess, for anybody that's seen that. I would say. Yeah. There's one more thing we didn't discuss. When Mikkel and Enith return to the house, Mikkel's creeped out by the broken glass at the window. What the deal is with that? Am I just forgetting? There's so much of that in the show.
I don't know if I would say he's creeped out. I think my feeling on it was by seeing that he knows someone's been there. I didn't think there was anything more to it. Oh, I can hear the fireworks going off around here now. Great. Did I forget to mention that I needed the podcast to be an hour and 9 minutes or less in order to be able to edit it on that thing? Just saying.
No.
Anyway, I'm looking at it right now.
How long has it been?
We're at an hour and 5 right now.
Okay. All right. Good episode. Looking forward to watching the next one. You know what the next one's called yet?
I did not look it up. Do you want to look it up for me?
I got this. Yep. It is Light and Shadow.
Light and Shadow. Okay.
Okay.
I feel like I've seen titles like that before. Anyway, very good episode. There are certainly moving pieces all around the board here. I'm impressed that neither one of us ever refer to untying or maintaining the knot. It seemed like on the show.
Well, it's a pretty vague generalization that doesn't.
If there's one issue I have with this show, and it's not just this show, it's every show like this. I wish I didn't have to sit through, you know, sometimes 30, 60, 90, 120 seconds worth of some ridiculous monologue, which really adds up to nothing. And I've read it in script before when I've read, you know, I've had to read scripts for people in different genres, and there's always these, and I'm like, I always like this, none of this means anything. This is like reading bad poetry. And they do that. Well, again, it's not a knock on Dark, because they all do this. They all shows do this. It doesn't matter. Lost did it. Every show does it. But this show, I was like listening, I was like, yeah. Adam, shut up. Or whoever it is this time, shut up.
For this show, I see it a little differently, just because like the characters that speak this way are usually Adam and Eva, I guess. And it is kind of like a mind control technique, is to just, when you're trying to get somebody to do something, is to just use repetition. So if they keep saying the same like canned stuff over and over and over again, it does kind of fit into that like stuff, you know. for a manipulator, for that kind of, you know, the cult stuff, just the repetition is kind of key to that. So the fact that they keep saying the same thing and using that for their different followers over and over and over again, it does have like a basis in like actual psychology.
Mm-hmm. That's also one of my linchpins for not believing that Adam is actually Jonas, because he sounds way smarter than Jonas ever was.
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not saying Jonas is dumb, but he doesn't. Yeah. I don't think he's ever comes down.
But you are right. It is a trope. So
It's like, you know, psychobabble or geek speak, just to explain something that's gobbledygook, which actually doesn't mean anything. But that's a very sci-fi trope. Every single Star Trek episode has it. You know, pretty much anything like that has it. Where it's just like, okay, this. And if you ever hear writers or producers or creators talking about it, they always talk about, this is a scene that we're just making shit up just to get to the next scene. It's like, it's like blah blah blah. So whenever they're talking all about the coils of the warp drive and this, it's like yeah. It's gobbledygook just to get to the next thing. No one really cares. That's why I love the geeks out there who make a big deal about those things and start. It's like, The writers themselves will tell you it doesn't matter. Stop it. This is where you cue up the clip of Shatner saying "Get alive." No, that's not the stuff to focus on. Okay, like I said earlier. Yep. Oh, good lord, god damn it! If you enjoyed this podcast, hang out on our Facebook page. I told you about it earlier. Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can also find us on iTunes. Serious TV Drama Podcast. Subscribe to our feed, and you can rate and review us there. I mentioned it before, I'll say it again because it's a great place to go. The stvdpodcast.podbean.com page, where you can go through our archive of all 256 episodes of the Serious TV Drama Podcast. And finally, you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at stvdpodcast, stvd as in Serious TV Drama. We will be back in your ears probably, you know, depends when you listen to it. You might listen to us all together. I don't know when you're going to listen to us. We'll probably be recording, if not in the wee hours tonight, probably at some point tomorrow when we get to episode 6 of season 3 of Dark. Oh, I am sweating to death with the AC off in this room here right now. My God. All right, with all that said, good night, Dan. I don't know if I'll be talking to you in a little while or not, but I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Good night, everybody.